Well, good morning to you. I want to welcome you back to the God School. We're teaching through the book of Hebrews. The subject is Jesus Christ, who, by what, who he is and by what he has done, might become the object of our faith. Now, in these previous chapters, Christ, in the opening of the third chapter, is called the apostle, the sent one, and high priest of our profession. Later on in the fourth chapter, 14th verse, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast, that is, exercise power, that is, set our course upon a set object, going further on to describe, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Paul is encouraging these Hebrews, this particular part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's applicable to all the Church of Jesus Christ. Let us therefore come boldly, that is, come with all out speaking, frank speaking, unto the throne of grace, unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He goes on and he's going to talk about this high priest some more. And he says, for every high priest is taken from among men, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. We need to go on before we come back to this. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sin. To offer for sins. He's talking about the office of the high priest. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What's a high priest? He is that representative, it says, taken from among men, is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God. Is set apart for men in things pertaining to God. Who can have compassion? That word compassion is witness of feeling. This is difficult. It's difficult for me to attempt to create a picture that Paul is creating here in this fifth chapter. But, you know, with God's help, we're gonna do this. It says, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, King James says, in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. I find it interesting as I'm attempting to get back to original words, that is, in the Greek. That there may be a greater understanding this word you know, in the seventh verse it says, and was heard in that he feared. So often in the translation of the King James, and I can't speak to all the others, but so often This word fear is used, and it kind of somehow or other denotes a trembling, a nervousness, don't know what's about to happen. Fear. And it really does not communicate the sense of this which we call the revelation of God of the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word is Yareh, and it has to do with reverence, with respect. The word being translated feared here, and King James offers an alternative. It says, and was heard, in that he feared, the alternative, in that was heard for his piety. That word always is related to some kind of religious activity. Let me, if I may, because it struck me, I hope it strikes you, the word in the Greek is eulabias. And this form of the word is only found once in the New Testament. If we went to a concordance, the word is eulabice. The short definition is cautious, pious. It goes on to tell us, cautious, circumspect, hence God-fearing, pious. But if we would take it a little further, it's derived from two words, you, which is well and good, and you've heard me say before, like in that phrase in Ephesians 1:3, where it's translated, but I just want to go to it. Where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like somehow or other, we're blessing God. The word there, translated blessed, is eulogesos. And it's talking about God, and it's talking about a good speaking God. And here we have the word eulabios from eulabeche, eulabes, you, well, good, and another Greek word, lambano, aggressively lay hold of. It literally means taking hold of what is good. What's being described here? That he was heard because he was aggressively taking hold of or laying hold of that which is good. That is the promises of God. We're talking about faith here. Not fear, but faith. We're talking about a different kind of priesthood, that is, of Jesus Christ, which the writer can only compare to the priesthood of Melchizedek, not of the priesthood of Aaron, the priesthood of the tribe of Levi, because it says, in the third verse, by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Christ never sinned. He became kin, that is, he took upon himself or struck a tent in human flesh. And he, through that relationship, could have compassion, that is, witness of feeling, on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. On us. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author, first goer of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Hupa koye. I love the way God has chosen to reveal himself through this word and how consistent it is how, and I'm learning and learning, and I hope you're learning how men and or the God of this world make attempts to change the meaning of God's word because somehow or other there is that sense in this word, learned he obedience. And then we go to the ninth verse, unto all them that obey him, there is somehow a sense of performing or performance of that which is being said, when in fact it's talking about hearing. It's talking about running to the voice of the sayer. It's talking about hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, that son of whom it is said, was the heir of all things, and by whom also the worlds were made, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, who upholds all things by the word of his power, who by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, that very one in his human experience which assaulted the word and promises of God, Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus came down and walked the same streets that we walked and had the same experiences in this flesh and circumstances which seem to deny the veracity, the truth of God's word, and yet in that very circumstance, he learned even more to run to God and to aggressively lay hold of that which was good. And he ran to the sayer, who is God, the same which we shall do It says in the third verse of the sixth chapter, and this we will do if God permit. I can use that phrase here. Of us who are running to the Seder, who are hearkening diligently. Can I use any other words? Of being attentive to God's words and to God's words. And I'll go back and remind all of us that previous to these words are that admonition contained in both the third and the fourth chapters of this book. It says, today, if you hear his voice. Today. Being made perfect, brought to absolute completion, he became the author, the first goer of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. If you're not interested in the eternal things, if the Holy Spirit of God is not leading you to look beyond this world and look beyond what God can do for you in this life, which is the subject of so much teaching that goes on in so many churches today, then, you know, you need to stop listening. Because, as I said a few weeks ago, when almost 9 years ago the God School started, the first thing I said was, I'm not here to tell you how to have a better life, but I'm here to show through God's word how that we may obtain eternal life. With God in Jesus Christ. The author of eternal salvation unto all them that run into him. To attentively hear what he had to say. Now, Paul goes on and he says, gives another reference. In the 10th verse, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's going to complete that argument. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Akue. Same root word found in the 8th verse translated obedience, in the 9th verse translated obey. Now, to those of you who have been with us for some time, I'm not going to say you're exceptional. And I'm not going to say I'm exceptional. I need every day to keep hearing because of my fleshly condition, which is dull of hearing. You need to hear every day. His voice. And run to that good speaking God. But having said what he said in the 10th verse, Paul's going to go on and explain a little bit more about this Melchizedek in the 7th chapter of this book. I'm debating, and I've already won the debate, not because you're dull of hearing, but we're not going to answer that question that baffles so many in the church. Who is this guy Melchizedek? We're gonna get to that, just not this morning. Paul says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Teach you again, which be the first principles. Which be the foundation. And it's translated here, first principles. The word is archaeos, from which we get our word architect, the foundation, the design of the oracles of God, of that which God has and is speaking to us. and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. We're not talking about infant Christianity at the God school. We're talking and using strong meat, solid food. We aren't spending time in the baby pool. That's a job for others. At the God school, we're talking about, it says, listen, but strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age. Become mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul says, because of lack of hearkening to the word of God, because of lack of running to the voice of the sayer, he calls that dull of hearing, that they're babes. And you know, babies just love to suck on milk. There are not too many exceptions. In fact, you know, I'm sure in this human condition there are, but not too many babies that don't enjoy milk, in fact, have need of milk because they haven't grown teeth yet. And I'm encouraging this congregation that you recognize that through these things, through the Word of God and by His calling, by His choosing, we're growing teeth, which then can take the appropriate action wherein it can take in solid food. It says, but strong meat belong to them that are of full age, that is mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. The Greek word, and you know, so many Greek words have come into being and are influential in the English language. The Greek word here, and it's only used once in the whole of the New Testament, is gegagymnazomina, gymnazomena. The root gymnazo. I mean, that's where we get our word gymnasium from, folks, if you didn't hear it. It presumes full discipline necessary to be in top working condition. This is gained only from constant, rigorous training through practice. It's not go to church on Sunday, forget it all on Monday. I'm not talking about now going into some kind of monastic life where we do nothing else. Because, you know, we are in this world. But Jesus said, though you might be in the world, you're not of the world. Why? Because your exercising yourself. I'm exercising myself in the word of God, in hearing the word of God, that in spite of all the assaults that Jesus both felt and suffered in his day, and we now feel and suffer in our day, we continue to know that God spoke and nothing became everything. Therefore, his word is more substantial than anything that we might see, feel, or experience. And the result of this constant, rigorous training, exercise in God's word, not only brings faith, but keeps faith, not only brings Christ into us, but keeps Christ in us, as it says in that third chapter, whose house are we if we hold fast firm, if we gymnasmina, exercise. It ain't easy. You know, I don't know how many books have been written about God's word made easy, the Bible made easy. Oh, Christianity, come to God and all be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Christianity is tough. But the promise of God is those whom he has called, he will enable. I want to go back to this 8th verse. It says, though he were a son, yet he learned to run to the voice of the sayer by the things which he suffered. The contradictions of the world against the Son of God by the things that he suffered. Jesus became kin with us. He walked, as I said earlier, the same streets that we walked. You know, he didn't just transport himself from the Galilee to Jerusalem and back from Jerusalem to the Galilee, where his feet never touched the ground. He walked those same dusty streets and roads that we did. The verb pasco short definition is am acted upon in a certain way, either good or bad. I experience ill treatment, suffer. It means to experience feeling. Relates to any part of us that feels strong emotion, passion, or suffering. I just give you some synonyms. In the Greek, we have the word pasco, means this is that word that we're talking about, experiencing strong feeling. It's the root of pathema, passions, sufferings. It's the root of pathetos, suffering, and of pathos, strong feeling, passion. Just as it says in that passage in Luke, where it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with man and in favor with God, this Pascha, this experience of feeling grew and grew. I want to draw this teaching to a, this today's teaching to a conclusion. By going to 1 Peter chapter 3, the 18th verse. It says, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins." Same word. Because of the experience of feeling in this relationship, which God said was necessary, and Christ came and experienced it and loved us enough that he has once suffered for sin. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he, that is Jesus Christ, the righteous, that is Jesus, the unrighteous, that's you and me, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but given life by King James says, by the Spirit, capitalized. Not all spirits are of God, but by the Holy Spirit, which first began to draw us to God and is continuing in us as we exercise in the hearing of the Word of God, of which it is said, faith which also is a gift of God, not of ourselves, which faith comes. Let us continue hearing God's word, his good word. Let us, that word, eulabios, that is, aggressively laying hold of that which is good. Let us continue on. And that's the God School for today.